Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us worship that we might connect with you, Lord. We thank you in your name. Amen. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament on worship, is Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had a vision as he was worshiping in the temple himself. Have you ever had one of those times when you're praising God and all of a sudden it seems like God in a special way shows up? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, wow, that was incredible. That's what I pray is every time we worship that would happen. And so in this passage, he has a vision of God in heaven and is awestruck by the glory of God. And let me tell you, in worship, it really is a matter of seeing. Not seeing with the physical eyes, but seeing by the eyes of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for in the future, but also the evidence, the experience of things unseen. Isaiah comes to this passage and he shares with us what he experienced. It says this in verse 1, chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, but follow along. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne and high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Those are angels. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. Is that the voice of God? No. That's just the voice of an angel. Wow. If an angel shakes the posts with his voice, what about the Lord of hosts, who has a whole host of angels at his command? And the posts of the doors were shaken, and the house was filled with smoke. First thing I want us to understand as we worship was that in worship we see God's glory, and we are awestruck by that. Isaiah sees God in his holiness and his glory, and he is amazed. Notice here that when you see God, he is huge. In the train of his robe, just the bottom part of his robe, fills the temple. In other words, the temple can't hold the glory of God. Amen? And this is the heavenly temple that is so much greater than that little temple that Isaiah was praising God and worshiping in. And his glory fills what? The whole earth. Isn't that incredible? I had a dream one time, and I still remember it. It was like don't get me wrong, I'm not some super spiritual guy. I know dreams are dreams, but let me tell you, this was so cool. I woke up and I was just like, wow, that's a cool dream. And in that dream, I entered into this, like the throne room of God, into the temple. And I saw a huge, glorious being standing at the back of this. If you've been into a huge coliseum or something, you're just awed by, like a huge being full of glory. And so I bowed down to worship him. And he said, "Oh, no, don't worship me. I'm just one of the doorkeepers," or something like that. And then I realized that the whole back of the temple, of this huge temple, was just a door. And when it opened up, there was something 10 times greater, 10 times bigger, and beings like this one being were filled in that worship place. And in front of that was the Lord himself, and it just was incredible. I think that's what Isaiah saw in his vision, something like that, where he saw a bit of the majesty on high. Wow. And listen, in worship, that's the first thing we need to realize. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a holy God. The angels are calling out, holy, holy, holy. Holy is the word kadosh. It means separate from everything that is impure or sinful or fallen. It is absolute goodness. We don't know what that's like. The best people we know have feet of clay. But God is absolutely holy. Absolute, pureless. God is great and God is good. He is so, so good. We call him holy. Matt Redman wrote another song called Holy Forever. And that's what we're going to sing now. Heavenly Father, you are holy, holy, holy. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your holiness, because you are what we need. You are greater than us, more awesome than us, and we praise you for being who you are. In your name we pray, amen. So what happens, church family? Let me say, wow, I love worshiping at Poplar Springs. Man, I don't know. Kathy sometimes says, Steve, you're singing pretty loud. And I just get carried away because it is good. But let me tell you, dear church family, when we really see God's absolute holiness, we will see our absolute brokenness. I remember one time seeing a video of a man on the street thing, and they were talking to a lady, and they said, you know, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And she says, oh, I'm not a sinner. And oh, my heart broke, because she was so blind. If she would ever see the holiness of God, she would realize how broken she was, how impure she was, how in need of change she needed. She needed God to come in and redeem her soul and change her heart and connect with him, the source of all goodness and all light. It's just amazing. You know, that happens every time. When Isaiah, when he saw the holiness of God, he was struck to himself. Just like when Peter, you remember the story when Peter was out fishing and they hadn't caught fish all night? You remember that story? And listen, Jesus did a miracle and loaded up their fish. And the Bible says Peter fell on his knees and said, "Begone from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus said to him, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." Wow, wow. Listen to what the scripture says. This is Isaiah. He sees God high and lifted up, and the magnificence of that, and he says, "So I said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Amen. Amen. It just breaks my heart when I look around our country And we are so far from God. And even Christ's church is so wrapped up in things of this world. Even my own heart struggle with the siren song of the world. We need to come back every Sunday and other times to worship God and realize that we are undone. He says, "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the good news, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my lips with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged." Amen. Wow, that's the good news, that there's forgiveness available. You know, we can never go to heaven. We can never go to heaven without our hearts being cleansed. Because the Bible says nothing impure ever enters into that heavenly city. Wow. But thank goodness we've got a gracious Lord, a redeeming Lord, a saving Lord. When Isaiah saw God's glory, he knew he was a broken man, a sinful man, a man of unclean lips. When you see God in your holiness, you can't help but feel unworthy of his love. Isaiah says, "I am undone." Hebrew is nidmati. It means I'm speechless. I'm speechless. Have you ever been there? Speechless. "For I've seen the King of Kings." The contrast is too great. In this world, we excuse our sins. We downplay our sins. But when we see God, they are too obvious. They are too obvious. You know, when I was a kid, a teenager, I loved camping. Any of y'all like camping? Man, I loved going camping. I was in scouts and stuff. We, you know, mainly for the camping, because I loved going camping and stuff. And I'd spend the weekend, Friday night or Saturday or whatever, camping. And I remember getting home, and I was great. The ride home was great, and I'm looking forward to better meals for one thing, okay? But also, I'd come in the house, and all of a sudden, I could smell the smoke on me. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, and my mom certainly could smell the, you know. So what was she about at that moment? What was a high priority for her? Yeah. But you know, when I walked into that house before, while I was camping, I couldn't tell that I was dirty and smoky. But when I walked into that clean house, all of a sudden, took those clothes off, gave them to my mom. Thank goodness for moms. Take care of that. Got in the shower, showered off, got out. Whew, that's better. Amen? That's what the grace of God does to you. If you've never received him into your heart, that's what he does permanently in your heart, but also daily in your heart, because we still live in this world, amen? And we still stumble, and we still sin, and we still get dirty. But the Bible says, if you say you have no sin, you lie, and the truth is not in you. Poor lady on the video that I saw. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. It's in his nature to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness so he can draw us close. You know, when I walked in all smoky and stuff, if my mom tried to draw me close, what would she probably do, ladies? She may give me a quick hug, but go get cleaned. Amen? And that's when in worship we see our brokenness and are healed. In the Old Testament, before the cross, forgiveness was a seasonal thing. The Bible says God covered over our sins for a season. And just recently, I believe it's in Israel, they celebrated Yom Kippur. Have y'all ever heard that? It's the Day of Atonement. Every year they have a Day of Atonement where they pray for God's forgiveness. And the Bible says in those days, God from year to year just overlooked our sins. But the Bible says once Jesus died, the very Lamb of God died on the cross, he took away sins. The Bible says Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might what? Bring us to God. Isn't that awesome? Forgiveness, the cross. Listen, I tell you, the song we're going to sing is a song at the cross, Love Ran Red. And this is how it goes. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down at the cross. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, all to you. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. Oh, Heavenly Father. I owe all to you, Jesus. When I was a young man, about 17 years old, I first realized that God was not way up there somewhere far away. He had come here to change my life and to live in me. And it made all the difference in my life since then at the cross. At the cross. So what happens in worship when we see God's glory and are awestruck, and then we see our sins and we turn in repentance to receive his cleansing, and he forgives us and cleanses us? Is that it? Let's go home, feel good about ourselves, wait till he calls us to heaven? No. In worship, we see the lost world. And we take them hope. We take them hope. The Bible says Isaiah, when his lips were touched, he was cleansed by the grace and forgiveness of God. And he hears the voice of God who speaks out to them. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send. Here I am, Lord. Send me. You've changed my life. You've given me hope. I need to share that hope with everybody I come in contact with that is open to hear the hope of God's. Once Isaiah's heart was healed, he felt compassion for his lost countrymen. He had unclean lips, and they had unclean lips. Unclean lips. Personally, in all of my life, I've never heard as much profanity as I hear today in America. It breaks my heart. From presidential candidates on down to kids in school. Breaks my heart. But it's not the language that breaks my heart. It's the heart that produces the language. The language just reveals a heart that is lost and broken and hurting and angry because they've never experienced the grace of God. I think it just reflects what's going on in people's hearts, and it breaks the heart of God. And when you and I really worship, what breaks God's heart will break. When we really line up our hearts to God, what breaks God's hearts will break what? Our hearts. And we'll have compassion for the people like Jesus had, where he saw them as like sheep without a shepherd into all sorts of danger and lostness. Oh, gosh. The love of God for the lost will fill your heart with love for the lost. God is saying to you and me, just like he said outward to Isaiah, who will go for me? Who will go for me? And Isaiah says, I love it. Isaiah says what? Like buckwheat, for those of y'all that remember that. Here I is. Great heart. Here I am. Do what? Send me. You know what, guys? He already has. This was Old Testament. New Testament, Jesus said what? Go, go, go. Peter said, always be ready to give an explanation, an account of the hope that dwells within you. Amen. Oh, gosh. In worship, we see the lost world and we take them hope. God is saying, go, go, go. And when we finish worship today, we will head out into a lost world. And if you go to the restaurant, I want you to pray for your server and for the workers in the back. If you're going out somewhere else, be aware of the people around you and greet them with the grace of God. And be looking for an opportunity, a hunger for the need of God, the touch of God. The last song we're going to sing in this point is a song that says, build my life, Lord. Build my life. And this is how one of the refrains, because it loops back to the beginning, holy, there is none like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me, get this, lead me in your love to those around me. Amen. Gosh, we go out today. You are all commissioned, if you've trusted Christ, to go out and share the love of God to a hurting world that is revealing with their lips the deep brokenness in their hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God that doesn't just check off salvation in some book in heaven, but also changes our hearts to be like the heart of Jesus, who left the comfort of heaven and came that he might save me and others like me, and wants to save the whole world if they would open their hearts to him. As we praise you, Lord, and commit ourselves to your commission, in Jesus' name.